Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the 24th episode of the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. Crazy weekend of football, both college and NFL. We'll try and get to everything that we can today. We've got a firing. We've got a files being charged on a player today. We've got soft-ass penalties. We've got the new concussion protocol coming into play immediately, involving the team that created these problems. We've got a who else could be fired. I think there's one coach that's very close to being fired. But let's start with the firing that we've talked about multiple times on this show, and that's Matt Rhule's out in Carolina. It was time. It just had not worked. And, you know, kudos to him to get that shot in the NFL. But I think it's known that he can build college programs. He needs to go back. I think Nebraska is the best place, in my opinion, that he should go. I don't think Wisconsin is going to be the job. But if he can go to Nebraska and kind of start building just like he did at Baylor, I think he can develop a very nice program there in Lincoln.
No doubt. And I'm going to answer that, Segs, in just a second. I'm going to tell you where you can also bet on Nebraska, Wisconsin, and everywhere else. Bet Online. And it's back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season and throughout the season. And you'll find the latest odds, matchup information, player news, and game trends to your liking. And if you continue, and it is also your continued source for all sports wagering, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf, as well as the big sports that we've already discussed. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's capital B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. That's BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, it's MLB playoff time. Get there, bet on these games.
Yes, it is.
It's been interesting so far. We saw the, you know, the teams that kind of had that week off or those 5 days off struggle early. Astros, the only, you know, came back and won. The Dodgers won late last night. But it's an interesting time here in the MLB playoffs. But back to where before I forgot about Bet Online. Matt Rhule, what are your thoughts on the Carolina Panthers firing him? What their direction should be? And does Nebraska make the most sense to you when it comes to Matt Rhule next?
Yeah, Sags, and you hit it. You had him as your over-under fired in the season as the first guy to go, and he did. Real quick, listen, Matt Rhule did a hell of a job at Baylor. He's a good coach. He just ran into the fact that he didn't seem to have, and a clue's not the right thing, but have control. I mean, when I say control, they didn't seem dialed in on, you know, as far as who to get, how to get him on the field, and working a plan and knowing exactly who was supposed to do what. Remember last year, Joe Brady gets fired by Matt Rhule, the offensive coordinator. And I'm not sure that all the pieces to the puzzle in their thoughts were there. And the quarterback position did not play well over the last 2 years. It just didn't. And there's only so much you can do. I thought it would probably square peg round hole. And it was time. I get it. I hate to see a guy fired, but there's a lot of million reasons why you can't feel sorry for a guy. Nebraska's a great job. He's going to get hired again as a head football coach. It'll be in college, and he'll help build a program. He did a great job at Baylor. Carolina's got to get more players. They got to stay healthy, and they got to get offensive weapons and a quarterback that's dominant. Apparently, Baker Mayfield gets to help choose the next head coach, according to their owner, and he's going to have some – or at least gets to – when I say choose, gets to be involved in the decision-making process, and that he's their guy, which to me is absolutely absurd and stupid to allow a player to decide who the head coach is. I don't get it. That being said, especially now, it ain't Brady and Rodgers. You're talking about a guy who may not be your starting quarterback, but they're gonna apparently let that happen. For Matt Rhule or who replaces him, Segs, I would imagine they're going to go try to find an offensive guy that knows the quarterback position. Who that is today and who it's going to be a week from now, I can only speculate. But think young mind, offensive explosion, that type of guy. And I'm going to tell you one to be alert for is Bill O'Brien from Alabama. 4 division titles. He's not going to be the front office guy, but he did coach the team fairly well when he was here. And he's got a great offense at Alabama. My guess is that they'd probably interview him. He's not my number one candidate, but somehow tells me that he's going to surface again somewhere.
Yeah, his name's just, I mean, it's been every job opening, NFL or college, his name is attached. And that's because of the success he's had, you know, during his time at with the Houston Texans, his time with the New England Patriots.
Hire an NFL guy, not a college guy.
Yes,
hire an NFL guy.
Exactly. And I mean, there's going to be so many names thrown around. And the one stat that stuck out to me about Matt Rhule, 1-27 in 38 career games coached. 28 times he did not score over 17 points. He was 1-17 in those games. I mean,
can't do it. And with the statistics will bear it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't score less than 20. Look at this. Teams that score less than 20 points or 20 points or less, I was looking at numbers, they you just don't win in this league. You don't. You do not win. You may get lucky once in a while, but you got to score 24, 28. 30. You got to be in that range to be a Super Bowl caliber team unless you're getting the Pittsburgh Steelers, 85 Chicago Bears type defense, the 70 Steelers. It's just not happening. So they for a guy who we thought was going to come in with Joe Brady and explode offensively, the position hasn't been good. The offensive production hasn't been good. It was time to move on from him. And they'll move on from the interim coach too, and it'll be an offensive guy, I would imagine, but a different style, more so somebody that's been in the NFL is my thought process, because their offense is awful, and it begs for them to go get an offensive coach that they think NFL wise can make this work.
Okay, let me throw 3 names at you of guys that I think could be the next fired. Ron Rivera, we saw him talk about Carson Wentz in a way that people were kind of like, what are you doing? Like, you don't just go at your guy. Like, you guys made the move to go get Carson Wentz, and now you're basically saying, like, well, we're stuck with Carson Wentz. I mean, the whole situation was just weird there with Ron. I don't know what's going on. He's 15-23 now as the Washington head coach. I don't know how he lasts, because they're not going to get any better. Yes, they may beat the Bears tomorrow night, but the Bears are a bad football team. I mean, that's a good division playing good football. And I mean, think about that. The NFC East, we're saying, might be top heavy, the best division of football the way they're playing right now. Jeez. And I mean,
record wise, it says it is.
Yeah, he's stuck his foot in his mouth. And that can kind of lead to losing the locker room, which in turn leads to losing your job. I'll throw 2 other names. Frank Reich. Things are just not working in Indy. I don't know what's going on there. 2-2-1, but you know, this is a team that should be dominating that division, and they're clearly not. And then Dan Campbell. We can give him all the credit for, you know, getting his guys wanting to play for him and all this rah-rah. We saw all this stuff on Hard Knocks. He's 4-17-1. They had one of the best offenses in football through 4 weeks, and they weren't winning games. I mean, this is a guy that I think will wear thin quick if it doesn't turn into victories.
I love Dan. Motivational, like guys with that high energy, keep their job when they're winning, and people want to move on from it quickly when you're losing. Players do.
Yeah.
And that whether it's Dan or not, I'm with you. I love him, and I know they play hard, but every team plays hard. At least they should. And I know they hang around, but you got to win. And Dan knows that. And this is not a patient league. So whether it's during the season or not, they have got to show at least some improvement. Now, offensively, they got better, but a lot of times they're playing from behind and chasing. And so they're throwing and putting up numbers. It'll be a bummer. Secondly, Ron Rivera, I think he's in danger as well. I was shocked. I've known Ron a long time, man, since college. I was actually shocked as a former player that he went. Now, I understand accountability. That's in-house stuff. You don't do that. You just don't. Because I reverse and say, what if Carson Wentz said, well, why are we losing? It's the coach. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? And Wentz is a grown-up man, just like Ron Rivera is. I know it'd be insubordinate, but Imagine how you'd feel. He'd be in Rivera's office in 5 seconds saying, what did you say? What is going on? Love Ron, but they've got to get better as well. That offense. And when you start bus tossing players, every player starts to think, well, am I next? And I know he apologized for it, but damage probably already done. You lose trust in a hurry. And then the third one, Segs, you had mentioned
Frank
was
Reich.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Frank, listen, I don't know how deep and feel good the relationship is with Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay, but it doesn't matter. That team flounders around. They're fortunate to be where they are.
Yeah.
Because the only time they seem to play good is in the fourth quarter. Now it's fortunate that they do, but other than that, unproductive Matt Ryan, while he does a nice job in the fourth quarter, he has been a disappointment to me so far. A disappointment, turning the ball over, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I think he can probably come out of it and put numbers up, but I think all three are in danger, and we'll be back to five or six of them by the time the season's over.
Yep, definitely. Weird situation. We had two of them this weekend. Two roughing the passer penalties, one on Grady Jarrett against Tom Brady on third down when the Falcons made the stop they needed to get the ball back. And I mean, it was one of those ones where he's coming across, grabs Brady and kind of swings him around and throws him down. Didn't hit his head. I didn't think it was any more force than necessary. And the penalty was thrown. And then the Monday night game, Chris Jones strip sack, has the ball in his hands and lands on top of Derek Carr and is flagged for roughing the passer. Never seen anything like that before. I mean, the NFL has to get this figured out and figured out quick, because those are two calls that could have cost their teams the game.
Well, the way Atlanta was charging on and come down from what, 21 to nothing, yep, and was back in it one score away.
21-15.
It could have made the difference. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, listen, there's no doubt, I'm going to say this once. We all want safety. But none of us, and I'm talking about former quarterbacks, current quarterbacks, none of those guys like this rule unless it works in favor of them in the game. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, having a beer afterward, they'll say it's horse shit, and it is. This overprotection of quarterbacks is absurd. I for years, I've been saying we're on the edge of losing the integrity of tackle football, and we are standing on the line now. It is way overboard. It's tackle football. Yes, it's a violent game. Cheap shots, get rid of them. I get all that. But there's no place for a guy to hit anyway. There was nothing negative, hurtful, over there, and there was more of them. But those are the two that stick out. You're over too physical and slamming a guy with an intent. Nothing. It was called playing football, and quite frankly, neither one of them not only didn't warrant a flag, you would have said, "Gosh, the guy could have hit you a lot harder if he wanted to," and didn't. So I thought it was weak. I understand officials are trying to do their job. Got to stop this. And the competition committee, save worrying about lawsuits and the holier than thou self-righteous bullshit that none of us want to hear, that, yeah, they want to keep their stars on the field and they want to make sure the money, so your stars are there. I know they care about safety and they should. It's not, we are, there's only one left step. There's only one step left, Segs, and that's put a red jersey. And it is true. Tony Dungy hit it right. This isn't football we're watching. It's close to touch or flag when it comes to the quarterback position. And Warren Moon, come on. I mean, they're all – I don't know any quarterback that likes the rule. Guys I've talked to a man. So, to me, it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It's costing people games. And stop the nonsense. You heard Aikman on the broadcast. You may not use the term that people get sensitive over, but we understand what it meant, okay?
Yes.
And I didn't bother me at all. We got it. Jack Lambert used to say that for when he was playing in the 70s. The truth of the matter is, it's not the players that want this. And I'm not sure the officials want it, but whatever the competition committee is doing, just stop this. Let us play football, take out dirty play and late intentional hits, and let us play tackle football and take the hits a quarterback's supposed to take. And I don't, unfortunately, guys get hurt. We hate to see it. Overreaction. We have overcorrected to the point this ain't tackle football, and it sure as hell is taking the integrity away of it.
Yeah, two things real fast. First of all, the whole point of, in the rule where you cannot land on top of a guy, sometimes it a defensive guy cannot stop in midair and fall off the guy.
Right.
And like it's impossible. And then the other problem I had from this weekend involving one of these plays was the Brady hit by Grady Jarrett that was flagged, was the way Brady reacted. He kind of, you know, got thrown down and he got up and kind of kicked like it was a cheap shot. You know, he kind of kicked at Grady Jarrett, and I think that's what drew the flag, and me personally, because I mean, Brady knows he can work the system to his advantage in certain ways, and that's one of them. And to me, that's, you know, I think Brady's better than that. And you kind of look like, well, I mean, I think I might even said it on Twitter. He looked like a bitch the way he kind of kicked off like a little kid, you know, kicking at their big brother or big sister. Like,
you're not allowed to touch me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Like, that's what he looked like. So that was the problem I had. And now on the other side of that,
real quick,
go ahead.
Yeah, real quick on Sags, real quick on that is we've gotten to the point where these guys, even though off the field, I'll guarantee you Brady says,
oh, yeah,
it's ridiculous. It gets, but you, all these quarterbacks, second they get hit, their head snaps to the dog on a referee.
Every time.
Like, are you going to call this? I mean, boom. Even if it's a normal hit, the truth of the matter is we got to get back to the days where a good, clean, legal hit, even on a quarterback, oh, well, sorry, oh, his ribs hurt. What a bummer.
It's part of football.
Not dirty. What a bummer. That's exactly right.
I mean, so it's to the point now where
$50 million a year.
A quarterback gets like grazed across the face mask and they're yelling at the ref. Like, come on.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah, stop it.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
It's overboard, man, and we got to fix it or we're losing the entire integrity of tackle football.
Right, and well, and the biggest story of football over the last few weeks has been Tua. Tua and his head injury, what we saw in that Sunday game and then what we saw in the Thursday night game, he's out, and Mike McDaniel has said he is going to be out this Sunday as well, looking like he could be back the week after if things play right for the Dolphins. But Teddy Bridgewater gets thrown to the ground, hits his head, kind of gets up slow, but there was no stumble. I mean, I've watched the video three different angles. There was no stumble. There was no grabbing his helmet. And there was no nothing from him. And some spotter sitting way up in a booth says, I didn't like that. You're out of the game the rest of the game. And now it's like, now the Dolphins are playing gun shy. They don't even want to put Teddy back in the game for this coming week. Skylar Thompson's going to start and Teddy Bridgewater may be the backup if he's cleared. I mean, this is insane. Now, if we're, like you just said, we overcorrected way too much, and now we're going in the other ditch, because now what happens if you're in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady gets thrown down and, you know.
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it.
He could be taken
hit.
Out of the game right. For the whole Super Bowl. It's insane, hey, and he could not have a concussion.
And I don't think that they even had to. Bridgewater said he didn't. I mean, his head was fine. I mean, the whole thing, nobody even, there was nothing wrong. So some guy gets to set up there and say, you know, I didn't like the optics of it. Save it, dude. You don't get to make the decision if he's out the whole game. Go in the protocol and come back out. I didn't get hit in the head. I'm fine. That guy can suggest that you go through the protocol and see if he's okay.
I'm fine with that.
Yes, no problem. But to stand up there and tell me on the sidelines or my medical staff, I didn't like it. Yeah, he can't come back. Hell no. No. Safety is one thing. And look what they've done. The Tua thing is, I mean, we were, listen, Sags, even before Tua, we were way too overprotective of quarterbacks. I hated the fact that he got hurt, but way too protective on good, clean, legal hits. And now it's to the point, it literally, we joked about it a decade ago. What are we going to do next? Play touch football? We, at that position, we damn near are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, enough. I'm all sensitive and compassionate to injuries. I am. But if Teddy Bridgewater was not hurt in the head, Teddy Bridgewater should be playing this week.
Yes.
If he wants to and he's cleared protocol, Teddy Bridgewater should be allowed to play football this week because other livelihoods are on the line. And if he didn't fail protocol and he passed and he's clean, why the hell isn't Teddy Bridgewater playing? Because the optics are bad? Yeah, sucks. Wrong as well.
Right, because we know if the Tua situation didn't happen and just say he had a high ankle sprain, and that's why he wasn't playing, and Teddy Bridgewater was in that game on Sunday, he gets thrown down. He would have been back in the game. Yeah, hell, he probably would have stayed in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was no signs. And then, you know, maybe the Dolphins win that game. Who knows? But now he's got to go through extra steps of the protocol, which is fine with me if he has the concussion. But it was deemed on Sunday.
If they're necessary.
There was no implications of a concussion. So this is something where the NFL is once again overcorrected, and now we are going to see this is going to happen in a big game to a big time player, and fans are going to go nuts, and or it's going to happen. We're going to see somebody stumble in the Super Bowl or an NFC AFC championship game, and they're not going to pull them because the stage is too big and you can't lose a Patrick Mahomes or a Travis Kelce or, right, you know, some big time player. You can't lose that guy out of that game. So it's going to be just a bad look for the NFL overall.
I agree.
Monday night, Davante Adams walking off the field, a photographer walked in front of him. I do think that the cameraman startled Davante Adams. I don't think he was expecting him, but Davante Adams reacted with a shove. I keep seeing people like, this is no big deal. This is no big deal. I'm sorry. You don't get to just shove people because you're pissed off that your team just lost. That's just not how life works. Just because the guy startled you. I mean, I've gotten startled before by my kids. I don't turn and slap them or shove them to the ground. That doesn't happen. So he has been charged with a misdemeanor assault, which whatever, battery, whatever it was. And
it's going to be a fine. He's not going to spend a day in jail.
Right.
Of course.
But yes. I mean, and he apologized after. But my thing is, if he startled you and you shoved him to the ground, help him up. Help him up. Just say, hey, man, my bad. You scared me. That's on me. And none of this would have been a problem. But instead of just kind of looking down at him and walking by him, you looked like an idiot. And now you pay the consequence.
Yeah, my favorite thing about it was then he sends out the apology, which is fine, but he sends it out on social media.
Yeah.
And says, hey, I hope you see this.
And through the media.
No, dude, yes, yeah. Why don't you reach out?
Yeah.
If you felt bad about it, and go tell him you're sorry and he didn't mean to do it. Listen. And then I read some of these comments of some of these dumbasses on social media. Oh, well, how did Davante know that it wasn't some crazy fan that was there? He was a credentialed person with a camera stand, whatever it was. So listen, yeah, bad timing by the guy to be there when they're coming up the tunnel or whatever. I get it. But save the startled when you're walking and you're staring straight ahead. I know. Most of us would say, yeah, excuse me. I apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me pick you up or go around him. Okay. Face it. He was pissed. He took it out on that guy. Yes. That guy was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I personally don't think it warrants a friggin' lawsuit. Okay.
No, I agree with that.
Let's slow our roll.
Yeah.
Let's slow our roll. Now, unless he fell down and, you know, separated his shoulder and rotated, doesn't have insurance. I get all that, but and then fine. But the lawsuit, let's stop with all the frivolous
yes,
crap.
Agreed.
But
agreed.
It's not just optics. It was a weak ass play, because if somebody does that to a fan, if a fan did that to a player, people go nuts, dude.
Right.
So a player did it to a fan. They don't get carte blanche. Because when people say, well, that's his work area. Well, apparently the credentialed employee was allowed down there as well.
Yeah.
So, I, you know what? Bad look. It was heightened by a bad loss and a stupid decision by the head coach. That doesn't make it. It does not matter. Davante, I've never seen him have problems with this stuff before.
No.
Adam.
No, as far as I know, he's a good guy.
But it still doesn't warrant you the hall pass to do that. Okay. It was dumb. And it's a bad look. So you reach out to the guy and go talk to him, but a lawsuit's a little bit frivolous to me, if you want
yes,
the truth.
Yes. I just feel like Davante Adams handled this situation wrong in poorly, multiple ways, and it just looks bad. You just said something that I want to get right into then, is Josh McDaniels' decision. Goes for two. You're down one with about four. I have it written down.
427
left in the game. And you score the touchdown and you go for two instead of tying the game. I mean, and we're going to talk about another decision made by a guy who's made multiple decisions that were just like,
same division,
yeah,
right?
Like,
same
what
division.
Are you thinking? Yeah.
Shocker.
But what was your initial thoughts watching that game? And were you just screaming at your team? Because you're a Raiders fan. That's your team. Dude. Were you like, just tie the damn game? Like, what are you doing, Josh McDaniels?
I was thinking, to be named a head coach for the second time around, you cannot have this low of common sense and low football IQ. Knowing that he's one
right,
of the great, hey, but let's not mistake great play callers on offense for great head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I tried to go through it and I thought I was blacking out. Like, okay, they're down one with 427 to go.
You're like doing the math.
I think I'm looking. I'm thinking, do I got to do the metric? What am I missing here?
29 plus one is 30,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I said, okay, you're not down you're not to the point where there's 8 seconds left and you're tired and getting your ass handed to you and you need to get out of the building. You're going for the two for the win. There's 4:27 left. Both teams have got like 5 or 6 straight drives with scores. His explanation was simply, thought it put a little pressure on him because we had a 1-point lead. Well, if you tie it, they got to go down and score. There's pressure. If you are down, they've got to control the ball, so there's pressure. If you go up one, they got to control it. You didn't go up by 3.
Yes.
You didn't go up by 6 for an extra point of 7.
Yes.
You weren't down 2. See, it almost makes me feel like if they were up 2, if they were like we're got up to 2,
mm-hmm.
then he wouldn't have kicked it to go up to 3. He'd have said, "Well, let me get to 4 so a field goal doesn't tie us." That's how that was the mentality. It was his. There is no metric, analytic evidence that says that's a smart decision. Oh, the players were all in. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
Of course the players want every player. Hey, you want to go for it? Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. But if I'm Derek Carr, I said, no, coach, we got 4:27. We're going to see the ball again. And they did. Oh, and by the way, nice 4th-and-1 call to run a low percentage fade on 4th and 1.5 yards right. where you could throw the ball the flat or hand it to Josh Jacobs, who rushed for about $160.
Jimbo Fisher?
Yeah. I'm like, what? I said, you really want to get fired from your second head coaching job as quickly as possible. Because make no mistake, great offensive play caller. But between offensive coordinator and head coach, you want to talk about a guy that the brain fog is like, dude, McFly,
right?
What are you doing? It absolutely zero sense. I do that if I'm worn out and there's 7 seconds to go and I want to win the game and get out of the building. 4:27, there couldn't be a dumber play call. And I've seen Staley and Nathaniel Hackett doing both. What is with AFC West? What are you doing?
Andy Reid's just sitting back.
Andy Reid's the only one normal, right?
This is a fucking cakewalk because these guys are idiots. Like, they have all the talent in the world, but these guys are idiots. Like, this is easy.
Thanks for handing the game over to me, guys. I appreciate it. And the division. What? I mean, could you be dumber? And these guys aren't dumb, but I don't know what they're thinking. I threw my hands up and said, I'm done with it, man. They got no shot this year if they're making decisions like that.
All right, let's go here. Chargers up 2, 30-28. Staley goes for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 46 with 1:15 left in the game. Luckily for him, the Browns kicker can't kick and missed a 51 or so yard field goal.
54, I think it was 54.
Yeah, whatever it was. Missed
the
game.
But it was long enough.
Because they wouldn't. They couldn't move the ball, you know, because, I mean, without Deshaun Watson, that offense just isn't very good. But, I mean, in that amount of time, so he got lucky. They still won the game. But, again, just another decision, like, what are you doing? Just punt the ball down inside the 20.
And they said it couldn't move the ball, yet they had scored 28 points, Cleveland. So if you're thinking, okay, so let me just give him the short field. They get a half a completion and kick a field goal. I was saying the same. I said, dude, you talk about a guy who's made, you know, the coach's job is to put your team in the best position to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm wondering why players aren't fighting with this. I mean, with the coach, like, coach, no. Right.
What are you doing? No.
I trust my quarterback. I want to put it in my quarterback's hands. Yeah, we all trust him. But that's not the smart play.
Right.
Punt it. Make them work their way to a field
make
goal.
Make them go 60 yards.
Some athletes. Right. Not 6. I mean, can you imagine the narrative if he makes it? He's already dumb enough that he didn't. And Staley's another smart guy. Sags, I don't understand. I don't.
But I think he's another smart guy that is a defensive mind that, you know what, he may just be a defensive coordinator that can develop some of the best defenses in football. But when it comes to making decisions, the dude's not there. He does not understand the game of football when it comes to making these decisions.
Too cute. Yeah, you don't need to be that cute. Good gracious. Stop it. And it just listen, I'm last weekend. I mean, I've been over these stupid ass decisions by some of these coaches, and it really, I'm sitting here saying, you can be in your living room and people say, oh, I could have made that go. Yep. The sad part about it is the person on Twitter, the person sitting in their living room, can make the decisions smarter than those two did this past weekend.
Well, and I mean, we saw it. You kind of mentioned, like, where are the players at, you know, on the sidelines being like, coach, what are we doing here? Like, we can't,
yeah. Right?
Keenan Allen was on Twitter because he was not at the game. He's like, what the f- are we doing? He tweeted that out and then he deleted it. So, I mean, come on. That looks dumb for you, Keenan Allen. But then
Brandon Staley says, well, it brought us closer. Yeah, closer to what? Closer to
Keenan Allen telling
what
the owner.
Seventh grade, put us going steady ring on you.
Dude,
what?
Yeah, send this dude packing. Because
brought us closer, all right. Closer to me taking a doggone cleanup my ass for making another dumb decision.
Right.
A smart guy, I'm with Keenan Allen. Like, what? What are we doing?
Don't delete it, Keenan
Allen.
I don't
care who the quarterback. Yes. Stand by it because you're going to be addressed anyway. Well, maybe Brandon, Staley will make some better decisions, but 2 years in a row, man, he's put him in some bad situations. Yep.
The big game we talked about before, I think it was last Friday or Thursday. I don't remember. Cowboys, Rams, Cowboys get the win 22-10. Cooper Rush, didn't have to do much. I think he was 11 of 16 for 160-ish yards. Or no, 106 yards, excuse me.
114 yards.
Or 114, whatever it was. Just over 100. But he did what he needed to do. And the running game was excellent with both guys. Pollard and Zeke Smith both ran the ball hard. They kind of shared the carries. And then the Dallas defense did what the Dallas defense does. They forced a turnover, get the score. And they were dominant again against the Rams, who aren't playing good football.
Zeke Elliott getting you the hard yards. Tony Pollard, explosive home run hitter. And you're not turning the ball over at the quarterback position, so you're in it, and their defense is dominant. We saw the same thing the week before. They threw it a little more. The 49ers kicked their ass at the line of scrimmage. Garoppolo protects the football, and they win. Right now, the Rams are reeling because they're a finesse team. On the offensive side of the ball, if everything's not working offensively for them, they can't block anybody. And they'll turn it over to you and give you opportunities. And they've got good players, but you run into good defenses. And Cooper Rush, listen, we know who the better thrower of the football and more explosive is. I'm curious to see, Segs, and Cooper Rush, phenomenal job getting him to 4-0, and maybe if he has to play against Philadelphia, he's done what you're supposed to do. Keep this thing rolling as a teammate without, even if you're not spectacular. But I'm wondering what it's going to do to Kellen Moore, because Kellen Moore's approached it conservatively. But we know when Dak, and he loves to throw it. He wants to throw it.
Oh, yeah.
So are they going to double the throws now and put themselves in harm's way, or continue the approach with a little more expansion of the offense when Dak gets in? Dak's a better player, but you risk it. You can't play him unless he's fully gripped and ready to go, because Cooper Rush has done a nice job, but it is going to be Dak's team one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, next weekend, big game, Sunday Night Football. I believe Cowboys at Eagles.
At so, Philly. It's going to be brutal. Yep.
In Philly, it'll be starting to get a little chilly out up in the northern parts of the states, and it's good football weather. I went to a couple football games this weekend. It's just perfect weather for football. Real quick, I want to ask you about two teams. They played each other. One's a surprise. One, to me, has some worries. But are they Super Bowl contenders? That's my question. Are they Super Bowl contenders? The New York Giants.
I couldn't be more. Brian Daboll's made it. Don't tell me coaching doesn't matter. He has done some great things. Got guys overachieving and actually believing, hell, we can win. And Barkley's at a whole new level this year, we've mentioned. I love what he's doing. They're not a Super Bowl contender. I don't think it's a fake 4-1. It's somewhere in between, Segs. They're putting themselves in position that they can afford to lose a couple in December if they keep playing like this. But over the test of time, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but they could sneak in with a wild card if they keep overachieving. But I love where they're headed somewhere in the future with this guy. This year may not be it, maybe a year too shy.
The Green Bay Packers, do they have to make a move specifically for the offensive weapons, the wide receiver spot? Do they need to make a move to become a Super Bowl contender, or are they a Super Bowl contender now?
I think defensively they're a Super Bowl contender. I think they have that in them. I don't, and they got the quarterback. No, today watching them, Vikings are better than they are. The Vikings are a better team than they are, better personnel. And we can keep saying, well, don't worry, don't panic. This feels different to me than the past Packers. Don't worry, don't panic. Great quarterback, and they can. But if you're telling me right now, I got 5-6 teams in the NFC better than them. So, no, I don't think today that they're a Super Bowl team. The quarterback always gives you a chance. The defense is pretty good. I don't think that offense can turn it on or off. If you're going to have to do something to get to another level, because the passing game's average at best to me right now.
Right. Okay, let's jump over to college real fast. Some interesting stuff happened. Alabama survives against Texas A&M with a backup quarterback. Milroe played hard. I'll give him that. He made some great runs with his feet. He made some good throws, but he also made some boneheaded plays that, a kid who's barely played is going to make. He put the ball on the ground a few times. Just some costly plays by him. Kept A&M in the game. But A&M's offense is just, I mean, just putrid. And then you got Jimbo coming out and being like, well, you know, we're kind of playing with a backup quarterback too. No, this is the guy that won the job 2 years in a row. And now you're going to put him down by calling him a backup quarterback when he's in the game. Like, something about Texas A&M doesn't sit right with me, doesn't sit right with Jimbo. And I just, if I'm a booster at that school, I'm starting to look at Jimbo very closely and saying, I know you're owed a lot of money, but we don't care. We're one of the richest schools in the country. We can put your ass out in a second.
Overrated offense. Overrated. The head coach right now with the production he's getting is overrated for the price he's getting paid. I thought the play call was horrendous. The design, Haynes King taking a 3-step drop on a quick game catch and release at the 2. The receiver doesn't go deep enough. So if it catches it, it's 2 yards. It's right back at the line of scrimmage. Right. They have a shot. And if that's what they're teaching, then Jimbo needs to teach it different. This offense is not, they're no threat. They're just, I look at them as a middle of the road. I look at them with all these recruits. I look at them as, oh, they're okay. I mean, they're fine. They can get close once in a while. Now, they played their ass off. Don't misunderstand me, and defended it. Did a good job. But the quarterback throw production for Alabama is not where it needs to be.
Oh, yeah.
Get Bryce Young back.
Put Bryce Young in that game. It's a 3-4 score game.
Right. But he came in, did a good job. He's got great legs.
Yes.
I mean, Milroy, he really does. But exactly. He does. He's a Katy kid. I've actually sat with his dad and talked football to him. He can play, but he's still got a long way to go in the passing game. Alabama will be better. Texas A&M's no zero threat to me to do anything. We'll talk about it, I know, on Friday. So I'm going to tell you now, if that offense isn't clicking, Tennessee can beat Alabama.
Ooh,
and Knoxville.
Yeah, that's a game I'm looking forward to.
I'm telling you.
One more thing for you. You said something that if USC beats Utah this coming weekend, they're running the table.
I'm a little nervous about one thing, though.
Past now this Utah team to a team that has some blue and gold in them, and they're right there in the same city as you, because we haven't talked a lot about UCLA. Dorian DRT is looking great, and he's doing things on the football field that he's a Heisman contender.
Let me tell you something, brother.
And they are playing good football.
And my defense, they did a really good job last week. They did against Washington State, my meaning SCs. I made a tackle.
Hey,
head coach, right? But own it. I'll leave it real quick that this, because I know we're going to hit more on them.
Yes.
Hopefully I'm not premature, because I know that it's going to be a great game with Utah because they're physical. But I'm going to ride that confidence and say, yeah, they're going to run the table. But if you ask me if I'm urinating down my leg a little bit with that quarterback and the way Chip's got him going and team speed. Dude, Sags, I'm going to that. I'm going to go make sure I go to that game, the UCLA game. I'm hoping that Utah wins, but it is dynamic quarterbacks, and they take the over. I'm just telling you, the over when those two play. Yeah, it makes me nervous because I might have just left that. And the Pac-12 is actually deeper than we gave it credit for.
It is.
They're playing better football. Hell yes, I'm concerned about it. Let me suffer over Utah first, okay?
Right.
But I can't wait when those two quarterbacks get it on down the road.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend of college football. We had some movement in the AP poll. Illinois jumps in for the first time in a long time. I think Kansas was the longest team that had gone, and they got ranked last week, and then Illinois was second, and now they're ranked this week. So cool to see both those teams get in. And we got some big games this coming weekend that we'll talk about
on
Friday. Yep. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show. As always, we are brought to you by Bet Online. Thanks, Sean. We will talk to you on Friday.
Great stuff, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.